Next in line on Columbus Community Radio, it's Youth Beat. I'm Lindsay Hirsch, and I am so happy you've joined us on this February evening. I just can't wait to get started. Tonight's show will center around a struggle that everyone experiences at one point or another, growing up and becoming yourself. Our feature story is an interview with two students from Whitehall Yearling High School who talk about their experiences learning and growing within the building. Nestled around those two gentlemen, we'll have our positively charged Eco Beat, Weekly Quote, and some great music. In fact, we'll start off with a song now. From Matilda the Musical, winner of 5 Tony Awards, here's When I Grow Up.
When I grow up, I will be tall enough to reach the branches that I need to reach to climb the trees you get to climb when you're grown up. And when I grow up, I will be smart enough to answer all the questions that you need to know the answers to before you're grown up. And when I grow up, I will eat sweets every day. On the way to work and I will go to bed late every night. And I will wake up when the sun comes up and I will watch cartoons until my eyes go square. And I won't care cause I'll be all grown up when I grow up.
Up, most of our listeners probably joined either Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts at one point in time. I myself was a proud Girl Scout for many years, until a difficult leader made me lose spirit. But for those of you who blazed through, there are high rewards and much esteem. For a Girl Scout, it is earning her Gold Award. For a Boy Scout, it is becoming an Eagle Scout. This week's Positively Charged features one young man who has what it takes to soar. Upper Arlington students have more with our Positively Charged.
I'm positive. Imagine becoming one of 6% of all Boy Scouts to achieve their Eagle Scout rank. That leaves another 94% of boys who do not achieve them. Many skills and knowledge is needed to achieve this unique ranking. Neil Armstrong, Gerald R. Ford, and Willie Banks, who are all very successful, became Eagle Scouts back when they were just 17 years old. Brad Krause, a junior from Upper Arlington High School, has worked for 10 years in order to become an Eagle Scout. Many of you may not know this, but becoming an Eagle Scout is a huge accomplishment. During Boy Scouts, boys of all ages learn how to survive in the wilderness by acquiring resources from the wilderness. The Boy Scout program is very important to Brad and his family. Another important part of Brad's life is the Upper Arlington Vocal Music Program. Brad and his family have played a very important role in benefiting the program. For Brad's Eagle Scout project, Brad even chose to organize a huge project in order to help the UA Vocal Music Program.
Okay, so basically what I did was we built shelves stacked too high, and we put it on wheels so they could transport it from another warehouse because they were thinking about moving to a different location. And we also made a list and organized it by what musical the props were used in before and what they could be used in the future.
Most people aren't aware of what most scouts have to do to officially become an Eagle Scout. In Boy Scouts, there are several ranks you must achieve in order to become an Eagle Scout, which is the highest rank. They must go through a series of different ranks. You must progress through a series of ranks in order to become an Eagle Scout. Tenderfoot, Second Class, First Class, Star, Life, then finally Eagle. To progress through all of these different rankings takes many years and a lot of hard work.
So basically in the earlier years of Tenderfoot, Second Class, and First Class, it's all about like cooking food, setting up tents, like things around the campsite to help your patrol out. And then later on in like Star, Life, and Eagle, it's more about gaining merit badges and gaining like the amount of Eagle merit badges that you have to have to progress to the next rank, and also the number of elective or optional ones that you would like to take.
But weren't aware of all the tasks, events, and education needed in order to become an Eagle Scout. There are other Boy Scouts all over the world, just like Brad, that benefit from the Advance Our Communities. It's amazing how just one individual can help so many people.
Again, that was some of our Upper Arlington students with this week's Positively Charged. I'm Lindsay Hirsch for Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. No matter who you are, the early teen years are never easy ones. We deal with changes in ideals, changes in education, and changes in ourselves. Although our horizons open up immensely when we enter high school, it is sometimes difficult to breach the wall from 8th to 9th grade. Freshmen Jacob Carsey and Ryan Ward, who attend Whitehall Yearling High School, talk to us about their transition and what high school life has offered them thus far.
All right, so this is Lindsay Hirsch for Youth Beat Radio here with Jacob Carsey and Ryan Ward from Whitehall Yearling High School. We're here to interview them about their school. They are first-year freshmen in high school. So first of all, gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Second of all, I just want to ask you a little bit about the transition from middle school to high school. So I know you've only had about half a semester to figure everything out, but is there anything that strikes you as completely different, things that you like, things that you don't like, that you're neutral about?
A few things I noticed different is the grading is a little different. For our middle school, we had it to where every quarter you would restart grades and you'd go back to an A. But this, in high school, now you have to switch it around to where every semester you switch instead of every quarter. So if you kind of screw up halfway, then you're stuck the rest of the year. So it's more of a challenge, but also a fun experience.
I've noticed there's a lot more freedom than there was in middle school, and it's a lot different from walking class to class, and you know, you don't have the same classes with all the same people. You just go to one class and it's a completely different, you know, a completely different room of people than your last class, and it's a cool way to meet like different people, and it's pretty cool.
Well, that's great. See, now you're bringing me back to my high school days, which were 5 years ago, which sounds ridiculous. But so what are some of the things that this high school offers that you like to get involved in? Any after-school groups? Any classes that you really enjoy being in?
I don't know if I'm going to do sports this year, but I know the sports in this school are really fun. I mean, it's my freshman year. I don't want to be completely overwhelmed, so I might wait until next year.
I joined student council so far, and it was pretty interesting. We helped out with homecoming. I was thinking about joining wrestling in a few weeks because Whitehall wrestling, it has a lot of rewards and benefits to it. So that's about it. Maybe track.
Okay, so are there any teachers as of now that really stand out to you? I know a lot of people are able to relate to a high school teacher who's been relatively helpful or who's just been a good mentor through the whole experience. So have there even any teachers that stood out to you as a good mentor or a good role model?
My Spanish teacher, Mr. White, he is a really good guy. He does everything he can to make the class fun and interesting. And, you know, it's not easy to make learning a completely different language interesting and fun, but he pulls it off.
I kind of like my science teacher, Mr. Palace. He's fun to joke around with, and he's understanding. Let's take more time, more explaining one thing than having to go on. Some teachers go on and on and on. This one actually slows down and takes the time so you can learn it.
Those both great qualities in teachers. So is there anything about Whitehall Yearling High School that you would want people to know that maybe the public isn't aware of, or if you have a bad rep for something that you don't need a bad rep for, anything like that?
We are known because we're one of the only schools in Ohio that has a dress code. And the dress code, it has its pros and its cons. It makes everything a lot simpler and stuff, but it's pretty strict. I can't wear this half the time because it has a hood on it.
Your dress code is pretty strict, but there is ways you can make fun with it. Yeah, it's hard because no hoodies. If it has hood, no zippers, but you can make fun with it. Only white shirts, gray shirts, black pants, or khakis. So, like, you can make fun. Like, you can wear a vest and a bow tie like I am right now.
Okay, so, again, I know you're kind of new to the whole high school scene, but do you have any advice or any information for people who are going to transition next year from going from middle school to high school?
It's a completely different atmosphere. It is, you know, you really don't know until you've done it yourself. It's a completely different feeling from middle school. Just, you move around a lot more, it's a lot more free, and it's a really, really cool experience.
Middle school was always the point where you and your friends would always talk, joke around, have fun, just a good old time. But then high school, you have to really strap down and do your work because this determines the rest of your life. This is like the major stepping stone in the rest of your life. And you will learn that really quickly once you move on from middle school to high school.
All right, so outside of academia and getting good grades in the classroom, what are some of the social differences and challenges that you notice in high school? You're kind of being put into a much bigger pool of students. A lot of these people you don't know, they're significantly older than you, whereas as eighth graders, you're the oldest in the middle school. So is there anything that you've encountered so far that presents a particular challenge?
Having classes with upperclassmen feels really weird, you know, not being in the same grade as everybody. In lunch, you know, in middle school, we just had to stay strictly in our seats. In lunch, in high school, you can get up and you can move around and you can go talk to people, and it's a lot easier. Lunches do not get any better.
Yeah. So your friends tend more to drift off and you have less friends because of different classes, but you're also meeting more new people.
Okay, so overall, would you say, you know, you're really enjoying high school so far, or you still need some time to sort of get adjusted to everything that high school has to offer? I know it can really be a very overwhelming transition.
I feel like I'm still adjusting, but at the same time, you've got 3 more years after this one to, you know, do your best and work your hardest and make a good reputation for yourself in this school. So the teachers that are here, do not forget.
I guess in closing, do you have any, like, views for the college? I know, again, you guys are in your freshman year, and it's intimidating to think of going to college 4 years from now, but do you have any idea of where you want to go or what you want to do in college? Any things that you're really interested that you'd like to take into a major or a minor or get a doctorate in?
I want to major in being a veterinarian. I don't know where I want to go or any of that, but I want to be either a veterinarian or I want to be like a teacher or a guidance counselor or something like that, because I like helping people and I like helping animals. It's just in my nature to be a good person and give back to the people who might need someone to be there.
I was hoping to go to either OU or OSU, probably OU because it's a little less expensive. And I was hoping to go for a 2-year degree in nursing, and then I was going to get my 4 year in doctor, and then my 4 year nursing after that, so I can have two different degrees and then move in that way.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to interview us.
Once more, that was Jacob Carsey and Ryan Ward from Whitehall Yearling High School, two delightful gentlemen who have the ability to go very far indeed. We're going to take a short break now and let you fly off to Neverland, where Peter, his lost boys, and youth reign supreme. While playing in the treetops and skirmishing with pirates, they'll tell us all the reasons that they refuse to grow up. From Peter Pan, this is I Won't Grow Up.
Are you ready for today's lesson?
Yes, Peter!
And listen to your teacher. Repeat after me. I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
I don't want to go to school.
I don't want to go to school.
Just to learn to be a parrot.
Just to learn to be a parrot.
And recite a silly rule.
And recite a silly rule.
If growing up means it would be beneath my dignity to climb a tree,
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
Not me.
Not I.
Not me.
Not me.
I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
I don't want to wear a tie.
I don't want to wear a tie.
And a serious expression.
And a serious expression.
In the middle of July.
In the middle of July.
And if it means I must prepare to shoulder burdens with a worried air,
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
Not me.
Not I.
Not me.
So there. Never gonna be a man.
I won't.
Like to see somebody try
and make me.
Anyone who wants to try and make me turn into a man. Catch me if you can. I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
Not a penny will I pinch.
Not a penny will I pinch.
I will never grow a mustache.
I will never grow a mustache.
Or a fraction of an inch.
Or a fraction of an inch.
'Cause growing up is awfuler than all the awful things that ever were.
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
No, sir.
Not I.
Not me.
So there. I won't grow up. I won't grow up.
I will never even try.
I will never even try.
I will do what Peter tells me.
I will do what Peter tells me.
And I'll never ask him why.
And I'll never ask him why.
We won't grow up.
We won't grow up.
We will never grow a day.
We will never grow a day.
And if someone tries to make us.
And if someone tries to make us.
We will simply run away.
We will simply run away.
I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
No, I promise that I won't.
No, I promise that I won't.
I will stay a boy forever.
I will stay a boy forever.
And be banished if I don't.
And be banished if I don't.
And Neverland will always be no, sir.
No.
As a child, my friends and I spent a great deal of time playing in the woods just outside my house. Entire days were spent exploring stream beds, tramping through meadows, and relaxing on logs. But camping was always my favorite. That's why I am so pleased to introduce this week's EcoBeat, which focuses on the camping experience.
Chances are you or someone you know has been camping in your life or goes frequently. About 40 million Americans go camping every year. It is considered a nice pastime and activity. A lot of people enjoy camping for the risk factor of not knowing exactly what will happen while being in an unfamiliar environment. For the Plahuta family who owned a motorhome and traveled to campgrounds frequently, they weren't so much interested in the risky aspect of the trip, it was more the idea of a nice getaway, which is exactly the opposite of what one particular trip turned out to be. So I remember it was July 2006, and my family and I had just set out towards Williamsburg, Virginia in our motorhome, just like we had done so many other times. My sister usually liked to draw while I looked out the window and read my book.
The kids had packed their favorite blankets, pillows, and games to cozy up during the long trip. we were settled in the motorhome, the screen with our shoes and the stuff that two women and two preteen girls take on a road trip.
The drive took us about all day, and we were really tired by the time we got there. It was raining, and we just wanted to go to sleep. My mom was trying to back the motorhome into our spot at the campground, and my grandma went out to help guide her into the parking spot. I'll never let my grandma off the hook for the fact that she left the passenger door open when she walked outside in that dark, rainy night. So while my mom and my grandma were outside trying to back up the motorhome, my sister and I couldn't stop complaining about we were hungry and we just wanted to go to sleep and wanted something to happen, and that's when something really happened. A sort of creature flew into our motorhome. It was about the size of a sparrow. Its wings were like a cicada bug, and it had a really nasty looking face. My sister and I were screaming like banshees, we were freaking out, and the thing zipped around and it went right out of our sight. So now we didn't even know where it was, and we were screaming and we were looking for places to hide and things to kill it. Sarah picked up a fly swatter, and looking at the fly swatter and looking at the thing, I knew that it wouldn't do much damage, which was really frightening. And that's when my mom and my grandma rushed in. Their faces were red, and they were wondering what all the screaming was about. Sarah and I anxiously described to them the literally unbelievable scene that had just happened to us.
I had no idea the bug was that big. I felt bad that I didn't believe you.
So, of course, after that happening, there was absolutely zero chance of us dropping everything and going to bed, knowing what we would be sleeping with that night. So while my mom was making the beds up and trying and failing to convince us to do the same, that's when she saw it. She saw all of its six spindly legs crawling, of course, out of her purse. I think it took her a minute to process not only the fact that this thing was alive and it was actually in our motorhome, but that her daughters had been right about it all along.
I had never seen anything like it. I didn't know if it was a bug or if it was an animal. It was a creature like I had never seen before, and I felt bad that I hadn't believed my children, because there it was.
At this point, it didn't take long for all of us to conclude that we could not sleep there, and we left the park immediately. Sarah and I locked ourselves in the back bedroom of the motorhome while my mom was driving, freaking out, to the hotel.
I was frantically driving the motorhome as fast as I could to the hotel because it was dark in there and I had no idea at what moment that thing was going to crawl out from under the seat or wherever it was hiding and terrify me.
When we got to the hotel, we checked in, we got ready for bed, and we slept soundly that night. The next day, we got on some form of public transportation and went to the tourist part of Williamsburg, just as we had planned to do. But the entire day, we just couldn't shake the bug off of our minds. Thank goodness for a maintenance guy at the hotel. He offered to scope out our unique situation. He threw a bomb into the interior of the motorhome while we were at Williamsburg. We hoped to leave the tourist part of the trip with good news in a creatureless motorhome, but unfortunately, it was never found. When it came time to leave, we braved the bug and drove the motorhome all the way back to Columbus, Ohio. The motorhome had seen the best of its days anyway, and the rising gas prices kind of factored into our decision to sell it. Although all of us who had been in the motorhome that day knew that the real reason was because of that creature. To this day, the memory is fresh in our minds, and we still have no idea what the thing is. Even though we had a nice time in Williamsburg those couple days, the bug definitely overpowered the way the trip went. It showed us how something so small has the power to change something so big, and that is what we took away from our short time spent with this strange, strange creature.
And what better way to follow up a segment on camping than with our creature feature? This week, we transport you to South America to meet a small creature with one heck of a feature. This week's feature creature is the glass frog. As their name suggests, this amphibian is partly see-through. A clear-skinned abdomen allows a full view of liver, intestines, and heart. Native to the wet, tropical forests of Mexico in Central and South America, this nifty creature makes its meal out of soft insects and plenty of spiders. Although scientists may never know exactly why their abdomens have this unique color, or lack of color, they think that it may act as a form of camouflage. You can't eat what you can't see. It also helps that these creatures are nocturnal, with big, forward-facing eyes to help them see their prey. With 60 different species of glass frogs hopping around, make sure you look about if you ever take a trip to the rainforest they love so much. But look carefully, or you might just look right through one. We've got time for just one more segment on Youth Beat, so we'll end with a quote. Virginia Woolf, famed English author, gave a very profound statement on her view of getting older. She said, "Growing up is losing some illusions in order to acquire others." And that's all we have time for on Youth Beat this week. I'm Lindsay Hirsch, here on Columbus Community Radio. Please join us next Monday at 7:30. Good night.
Youth Beat Radio is funded by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University Extension's Outreach Program, as well as the Puffin Foundation West and private sponsors. Check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or follow us on our Twitter page or our Facebook page.
The views reflected in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WCRS Columbus Community Radio or any of Youth Beat sponsors.